Welcome to Managing Myeloma. My name is Dr. Philip McCarthy, and I am Professor of Oncology and Internal Medicine and Director of the Blood and Marrow Transplant Program at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, New York. I'm here to talk about some registry trials, one that's sponsored by Celgene Therapeutics, and what they demonstrate is that they are able to collect a large amount of data from patients in the community who are receiving therapy for multiple myeloma. And this is called the CONNECT-MM registry. And so what they did was they looked at treatment outcomes and healthcare resource utilization in patients with newly diagnosed multiple myeloma who had received a variety of different induction therapies and then may or may not have received transplant, and then as well may or may not have received lenalidomide maintenance. And what they were able to show is that, number one, there are still a significant number of patients who are considered transplant eligible, but who actually do not go on to transplant therapy as part of their first treatment after induction. And this is important in terms of what we found based on the recent determination trial that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, Atal et al., a couple of months ago. And what they showed there was a 14-month progression-free survival benefit for the patients who received stem cell transplant upfront versus those who had deferred and continued chemotherapy. Now, there is no difference in overall survival, and that is good. And what it could mean is that there won't be in the future. However, we don't know what happens because the majority of patients still have not relapsed, and the overall survival at 3 years is over 80%, which is fantastic. So we're going to have to wait several years to see on that trial what are the outcomes from transplant versus chemotherapy and then lenalidomide maintenance. But we have this CONNECT-MM registry, which gives us an idea of what it's like in the community. And what we see is that there is definitely a benefit to lenalidomide maintenance versus no maintenance. Now, another interesting thing is they did a quality of life study and healthcare resource utilization. They found that patients receiving lenalidomide maintenance did not have a major impact on their quality of life. Now, this is not a randomized trial, so it's useful from a registry standpoint, but what we need to do for future trials is have quality of life instruments built into maintenance therapy trials that will allow us to determine what is the effect of prolonged maintenance therapy on the patient's quality of life. Another interesting aspect of the CONNECT Multiple Myeloma Registry is the impact of a chromosome 11-14 abnormality on survival outcomes in African American patients. And what they showed is that patients who were African American and who had an 11-14 translocation at diagnosis had an inferior progression-free and overall survival when compared to non-African American patients with the same chromosome abnormality. Now, this is quite interesting. It's not entirely based on a certain fact. So in other words, is this a racial characteristic feature, genetic characteristic, or some other impact that we don't understand? The thing that's exciting about this, though, is that there is now venetoclax, which is an oral BCL-2 inhibitor, which has a particular benefit in patients who have the 11-14 abnormality. So right now, venetoclax is used for the treatment of CLL, and there are clinical trials examining its benefit in a phase 3 manner. But in terms of off-label use, this may be the patient population in the relapse setting for whom venetoclax should be considered. Remains to be determined, of course, based on insurance coverage, drug availability, and a variety of other factors. But this may allow us to be able to better determine outcome in this patient population. One thing that's really important is that we should be thinking about repeating bone marrow tests on patients, especially when they have disease progression. And this is because we find that new cytogenetic abnormalities may arise over time in the patient. Myeloma is very different from a lot of the other hematologic disorders in that there's clonal abnormalities that will pop up. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. When one clone gets knocked down, another clone arises. And now that we have drugs that may overcome particular cytogenetic abnormalities, it really behooves us to think about repeating bone marrow tests, not every month, but in particular at progression, and not relying solely on laboratory tests to determine whether or not a patient may or not be progressing. The field of myeloma continues to evolve. Now that we have all these new agents, it's hard to figure out how do we sequence them in the relapse refractory setting. We're beginning to move them up into the upfront setting, so that's another question. But in the relapse refractory setting, we now have three uses for daratumumab. You can use it with bortezomib dex, you can use it with lenalidomide dex, or you can now, just FDA approved, use it with pomalidomide dex. So we're going to have to figure out how all these things work together. One good thing about these registry studies is that it allows investigators to get a feel for what it's like in the community, how patients are being treated, and how can we better optimize treatment for our patients with the goal someday of curing them of their disease. Thank you very much for viewing this activity. This is Philip McCarthy speaking to you today from the European Hematology Association in Madrid, Spain, 2017.